The highly acclaimed Brooklyn-based band The National have released their new album, The Trouble Will Find Me. It is the follow-up to 2010's High Violet, which was a breakthrough album for the band, which is made up of two sets of brothers and singer Matt Berninger. The group has been involved with a number of unusual projects of late, most recently a performance as part of an art exhibit at MoMA's, the Museum of Modern Art's PS1 space in New York City, called A Lot of Sorrow, in which the group played their song Sorrow from High Violet live for 6 hours straight. I asked Matt Berninger how many times they played that song during that time.
It's been reported that we played it 105 times, which is incorrect. We played it 108 times, but it wasn't even our idea. It was Ragnar Kjartansson's idea, who pitched it to MoMA, and then they contacted us, and we heard his idea behind it and why he wanted to do it, and we jumped on board, and it was strangely great. It was one of our, I think, a really great experience. Very weird, but really enjoyable, ultimately.
Did the song become like a mantra, or what happened?
Yeah, that's his... I mean, he does these things. He does a lot of... it's performance art, but it's not based on sort of endurance or the struggle or any kind of like the pain of performance or something like that. It's more of how, when you repeat something over and over again, it not necessarily evolves. It's not like we were trying to like do the song, 100 different ways. It's about when you repeat it over and over again, and the sort of different Zen states, or not Zen states or something, mental states that creates. And he's done it with operas. He's done it with, just himself playing an acoustic guitar in a bathtub for 12 hours, singing the same song over and over. He's done a number of different things like this. And he wanted to do it with a full rock band and with, cameras, as if it was like a big rock show that was, the needle was stuck on a rock show or something like that. And so we were happy to give it a shot, and I gotta say, I wouldn't mind doing it again. It was kind of one of the most relaxing days I've had in several weeks. So,
wow, are you sick of the song now, though?
No, not at all. It was funny. It was by the end, the song, we were starting to hear the song again. With High Violet, we had played that song probably over 100 times, in the past couple of years, and to do that all at once was. In strange ways, after a while, you started to hear the song again, and even I actually, kind of lost my nerve a little bit about it, but about towards the end of it, and kind of got choked up. But it's a sad song, and it took 95 times until it got to me. But it was a really, really good experience for sure, and I think it's a beautiful thing that he did. Yeah.
Well, when we talked to you before High Violet, there was a certain amount of angst in the band about working, recording that and how that all came together. But everything I hear about Trouble Will Find Me is it was kind of the yang to that yin.
It was different. Making this record was no less work. We went through our normal process of crafting and being sort of, perfectionists or something. I don't know if perfectionist is the right term, but we worked maybe probably longer and harder on this record than we ever have, but we weren't fighting as much, and it wasn't the same sort of anxiety and stress that we've had in the process of making some of our other records. And these songs came from a more organic and kind of carefree place or something. Not that the songs are necessarily lighthearted, but they the process of making this record was lighter or something. Yeah.
Well, my initial reaction to these songs is that they're really direct, and I feel like I get them more quickly, and I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I mean, sometimes you think you have to really struggle to get a song, but they're also you have that bit of that they sound lighter, and yet there's a lot of Matt, there's a lot of questions about mortality on these songs as well. So is that a having kids, is that a getting older, or do you know where that comes from?
It's not getting older. I mean, I'm 42. I still feel like a young man for sure, but it's the mortality thing, I think, comes up in a sense that there's two ways. There's one that now, now that I've got a daughter, I realize she needs me, and I think maybe before having kids, I was reckless and young, and it felt like, if you get struck by lightning or, a tree lands on you or something, it's your number's up and there's nothing you can do about it. So it was never a source of stress or worry, life and death. It was, it just wasn't something you thought about. But now with a kid, you realize, you need to be around. They need you around. But then the flip side of it, and so this record does kind of dig into some ideas of mortality, but in sort of light and not so heavy ways, and sometimes in funny ways. But the flip side of it is also seeing my daughter, and real, she's four now, and I definitely recognize myself in her, and this idea of existence and afterlife became so clear to me that the people we touch and the people we are, whether it's somebody crossing the street or it's our own daughter or our our close friends or loved ones, the people we touch are that's our afterlife, so long after our time ticks out or our light goes off, I don't believe in them. I don't believe in a heaven or a hell. I believe that's, we're creating that now. It's just us, so. And that was kind of came into this record in not overly obnoxious, heavy ways, hopefully, but it was on my mind, yeah.
Mm. And, of course, that's the whole purpose to make art, some people say, is to have an afterlife.
I didn't actually think of it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It's mostly just like, there's like, I think I'm a secular humanist or something, whatever that I looked it up, but it's this, the idea that it's actually just us and it's how we treat each other. That's everything. And what we leave behind, that's everything. That's heaven and hell right there. But, I actually find it kind of encouraging and motivating, but not at all depressing. But so the record it digs into some of that stuff in light ways. But it's not a morbid record by any means, I don't think.
Oh, no, absolutely not. The first song we've been hearing is "Don't Swallow the Cap," which I'm sorry, you knew you were going to get questions about the title. Where does it come from?
To be perfectly honest, it's just I didn't know exactly what it means. It's not a specific sort of. I think when I was writing stuff, it was the idea of like, be careful, don't swallow the toothpaste cap or don't swallow the mushroom. It's like almost like a Alice in Wonderland sort of thing or something, maybe. This song's a weird song that is goes to a lot of kind of funny places, and it's about going down some sort of weird mental rabbit hole in a way, I guess, but yeah.
All right, so this is The National. We're hearing music from Trouble Will Find Me, and starting off with Don't Swallow the Cap.
Never be into
On the World Cafe, that is Sea of Love, a live performance today from The National, another one of the new ones from Trouble Will Find Me. Well, I wanted to maybe talk a little bit about some of the things that Matt was talking about having kids, because we've talked to a couple bands that have worked in your space, including Local Natives, and they concur that there was a period of time when you were not, your child was easily awakened, shall we put it that way?
That is very true.
and in some of the first press material to come out about this, you mentioned how it was mentioned that sleeplessness might have had something to do with some of the parts you were composing. Do you buy into that?
Well, maybe. I think when a baby is born in the early, first few months, they mainly sleep and breastfeed. So I found myself in this, very excited.
He was doing a lot of breastfeeding.
Yeah. excited sort of state of mind where, wanted to be present and really involved, but actually there wasn't that much for me to do. And the studio is right outside my house, and I have lots of instruments around inside, and we were having a little break from the touring at the end of High Violet, and I just started writing a lot of music. And I think there might have been some awareness that, she was listening, Ingrid, my daughter, was listening or something, and something about it came out really emotional and direct and heartfelt. The songs aren't simple or anything, but I guess they Matt found something that was connecting to him about them.
Hmm. Do you learn from working with other bands? I know you worked with Youth Lagoon and I mentioned Local Natives. Does that inform anything you do?
I produced Local Natives' record and Sharon Van Etten's record, and there was something about working with a radically different artist, but both of them I learned things from and stole things from, and I think every time we work with other musicians or come into contact with people, you see everyone relates to music differently, and you can kind of learn things all the time. So I also think having a studio, you kind of pick up tricks all the time, whether it's another engineer or another band, just things they're doing with sound, and that definitely plays into making records.
Hmm. The National are our guests today, and Matt, it's kind of funny. Every time I've talked to you, I keep saying, "Oh, this is great. Two sets of brothers. Well, let's talk to Matt about how different it is being. Do you feel left out?" And I kind of think, "Oh God, what a cliche question." But it turns out that is kind of an important question. Witness your brother Tom coming along on tour, mm-hmm. and this new film, Mistaken for Strangers, which ends up being not just a film about the National, but kind of a film about your relationship. Did you invite him along, kind of to have a partner?
I invited him along to give him a job, to be perfectly honest, he was 30 and he was living in Cincinnati with my parents. And I mean, he's a brilliant, amazing guy, but he was kind of in a rut. And we, the High Violet tour was kind of going to be a big tour for us. So we needed help. And I thought this is a perfect two things. It was a perfect opportunity to get him out of Cincinnati and out of his rut. And then I did. I missed him. And you know, he's 9 years younger, and I went to college when he was nine. He was a little kid, and you know, I kind of went off then after that to New York and everything. So we hadn't actually been, you know, together for you know, serious amounts of time for 20 years almost. And yeah, I did. I wanted him around because I and it was actually great. It was like I had him to vent to and to lean on, and I realized how much I'd been kind of missing him, you know. But then anyway, but then things kind of fell apart, not between us necessarily, but his role as he was hired as assistant tour manager, which was, since he doesn't really know how to tune a guitar or do anything like that, the only job available was to be our tour manager's assistant. And our tour manager, Brandon Reed, is a really buttoned up and very professional guy, and he needed somebody who was just like that. And my brother, as much as I love him, is not a buttoned up professional guy. He's a brilliant guy, but he was not right for that role. So he ended up getting fired, and it was kind of a, it's all in the movie, and it turned out to be a much more interesting movie, you know, being about, you know, the frustrations and love between family members and all that kind of stuff, and the struggle to try to make something good, and that's what the movie turned into, which is much better than some profile just about a band on tour, for sure.
So it's called Mistaken for Strangers, but what was his worst mistake?
Well, his worst mistake wasn't even in the movie, because it was the first day on tour. He had a lot. He's got a lot of ties for worst mistake. But the first one was the first day he was working, and he was supposed to pull a big cargo van that had all of our gear in it up to the loading dock of a door, and he pulled it up onto a sidewalk and tore the awning off of the business right next door. That was day one, and the most ridiculous thing about it is that it was an awning store, and so it said, you know, ABC awnings, and it had this crumpled, you know, hanging off the building awning on it, and it was that was day one, and it subsequently just, it was kind of those kind of things happened over and over again, and a lot of them made it into the movie, you know. Right. And it was awful for poor Brandon, who comes across as sort of the villain in the movie, but he's not. He's a brilliant, really, really sweet and wonderful man. But he and Tom were not good sort of business partners or that way. But anyway, yeah.
And it opened the Tribeca Film Festival, and you guys got a chance to play. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Trouble Will Find Me is the new album from The National, and we're hearing tunes. And Matt, what's next?
This is called I Need My Girl. It's just a love song. I was a lot of things.
some things that I should never laugh about in front of family. I tried to call you from the party. It's full of punks and cannonballers. I need my girl. I need my girl. I'm under the gun again. I know I was a 45% of them. I was a lot of things, but I am good, I am grounded. Davey says that I look taller, I can't get my head around it. I keep feeling small and smaller. I keep feeling small and smaller.
Another one of the new ones from The National's new album, Troubles Will Find Me. That is Pink Rabbits. And hey, Matt, I've got my iPhone out, and I cannot find a drink called a Pink Rabbit.
There is a drink called a Pink Bunny, apparently, which is, I believe it's vodka and strawberry quick. So it's like a white Russian, but with strawberry quick, which I can't get enough of. Personally, but Bunny didn't sound right.
No. Well, congratulations on this album. It just sounds fantastic, and thank you all so much for
thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Thanks so much, David.
The National, our guests, will be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.